Good evening, I'm Christian Esguera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. Let's begin by dissecting the news. President Rodrigo Duterte has signed a law creating a Department of Migrant Workers, a super body placing all government agencies that have to do with Filipino workers overseas under one roof. Now, on the surface, it makes perfect sense, especially if the goal is to look after some 2.2 million Filipinos toiling abroad. But does this new department now mean that exporting labor is a policy that is here to stay? Be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterTheFact. Joining us tonight is former Labor Undersecretary Susan Ople. She is also the president of the Blas Ople Policy Center. Good evening, Toots, and thank you for joining us on the program. And before we start, I'd like to express our deepest condolences. I understand that your mom passed away and the burial was this afternoon. Again, our deepest condolences.
Yes, her name was Susana. I'm her namesake, and she was 93 years old. And we, the family, just would like to take this opportunity, Christian, to thank all of those who sent their messages of sympathy and condolences.
Okay. Again, our deepest condolences to you and your family. And then this topic for tonight is something very close to your heart, the plight, the welfare of the overseas Filipino workers. This proposal had been on the table for quite a while, the establishment of a Department of Migrant Workers. First off, given your experience dealing with problems besetting this particular industry, Filipino workers, is this something that is really needed to put everything under one department for our OFWs?
Well, I think the clamor for such a department is real. And there's this sentiment that the OFWs do not have a home of their own inside the government bureaucracy. And so this provides an opportunity that at the cabinet level, there will be a specific cabinet secretary that will voice the concerns of our OFWs. Because although we have the labor secretary throughout the years serving also as the voice of OFWs, I think the intention was to have a more focused approach in migration governance.
Okay. Now, how exactly will this new department help Filipino workers abroad?
Well, I can cite the experience that we have at the Ople Center, my NGO, Christian. When we assist distressed OFWs, we have to go to different agencies. So if the OFW has a recruitment agency, then we go to POEA, so they can alert the recruitment agency involved. And then we go to OWA, because the OFW is an OWA member and is entitled to some benefits. And then if there's a criminal element involved, we go to the DFA, because the legal assistance fund is with the DFA. So some OFWs, especially their families, believe that parang napi-ping-pong sila from one agency to another. So we're hoping that a new department will solve this problem.
Okay, so basically the new department will help streamline the process.
Yes.
Your policy center, I suppose, was consulted when this law was being crafted, right?
Right. We also submitted our position papers. We were present in every hearing. And not just us, other civil society organizations as well, those in favor and those who were against. And most especially, I think credit should be given to Senator Joel Villanueva and UCP Congressman Raymond Mendoza, because they went out of the way to also touch base with the OFW groups in different countries.
Okay. I remember there were concerns before raised regarding the establishment of a department entirely devoted to the concerns of Filipino workers abroad, that this could basically add another layer in the bureaucracy, even if the intention was to put all those agencies that had to do with OFWs under one roof. And then, of course, we'd have to talk about budget. How are these things addressed during the hearings?
Well, the Senate decided that the department should focus really only on OFWs. The House version originally covered all overseas Filipinos. I think that went into a more rational discussion as to the budgetary requirements, because we're just dealing with OFWs and you have already the key agencies existing. So it's just a matter of aligning their budgets, integrating the merging the functions, and even I guess the staff that's already existing, you know. And hopefully this will lead to policy coherence na isa na lang ang magkukumpas right now with several agencies. Also overseas, you have the social welfare attaché under the SWD. You have the welfare attaché under OWA. And then you have the ATN officer under DFA. And may mga embassies, may police attachés then. So parang this would simplify both on the policy front, the budget front, and also in terms of services or OFWs.
And also coordination among those agencies dealing with Filipino workers abroad, right?
Yes. And Christian, there was also one concern often raised during the discussions. The question was raised, does this mean we're giving up on local employment? Yeah. Are we now saying that labor migration or overseas
labor export
employment, the labor export policy is here to stay, and that we're embracing it as part of our economic program or policy, you know? But if you look at the UN, the UN General Assembly approved the UN Global Compact on Migration, and labor migration is very much a part of that. So I think we were 40 years ahead in looking at how labor markets can absorb some of our workers. Right now, a lot of countries have been emulating us, and now we continue to evolve. The only challenge here, Christian, is who will head the department? Because the structure is so important. If you get somebody who is not immersed really in labor migration and even just labor matters and concerns, it would be difficult putting in the right structure and accelerate the process. You have foreign employers waiting as well as to how fast we can transition this change bureaucratically, because labor contracts are involved. And although 75% of land-based deployment is down due to the pandemic, we are so slowly seeing the opening of several key markets. So it's okay. Very important, the choice, that's the next critical touchstone.
Yes, and I think President Duterte initially have to make that decision, right?
Yes.
And that cabinet secretary will have to preside over the transition.
Yes.
And it's a question that would have to be asked of those running for president, who they intend to appoint. I think that's a fair question, right? Who they intend to appoint in this new department?
Yes, I think there's a. I'm not sure if it's a 1-year transition or 2-year transition, but once the appointments are made, then they would have to immediately craft the IRR, which will operationalize this department. And there's a lot of consultations. We hope there will be a lot of consultations in the crafting of the IRR.
Okay. The issue that you raised earlier, which according to you was also raised during the public hearings, the idea that by establishing a department entirely devoted to Filipino workers abroad, is this an admission that the labor export policy of this government, even if governments in the Philippines, administrations refuse to make use of that term or to admit that there's such a policy? But the point is, for all intents and purposes, the fact that you're putting a department devoted to this particular set of workers, does it mean talagang it's here to stay? Well, what's your answer to that?
You know, when my dad was alive, Christian, he would always tell us, someday, technology, foreign capital, direct investments, and the talent of our workers will converge here in the Philippines. And there will be an economic boom and jobs will be created and no Filipino will have to live abroad. And yes, passed on 17 years and we're still, you know, overseas employment is still one option that many Filipinos are looking at. And ang concern ko nga, Christian, this is a very candid concern from, you know, even my experience. When things normalize, given the lack of incomes, my concern really is that so many people will be looking for jobs overseas. And kasi yung economy natin will take also years, no, to stabilize and grow and, you know, flourish. But there are other economies in search also of foreign workers. So that's why this department has to be set up in such a way that there's this balance between the interests of the employers and the welfare and protection and rights of our workers. We have to go for quality, decent work, not just here, but especially abroad.
And provide proper protection for the workers, which is a very important issue. Yes. Pero yung kanina, binanggit mo na policy coherence. That's quite interesting because supposedly there should have been policy coherence in the first place. Would you care to elaborate on that?
Okay. Well, let's take one concrete example right before our nose. The DOLE has called for a suspension of the deployment of OFWs to Saudi Arabia because of some back wages that have, you know, been taking years to be resolved by the Saudi government. But we have not heard anything from the DFA. So it would be interesting to know whether this move of DOLE is also being supported by the DFA. Based on the tweet of Secretary Nuxin, it looks like they're not on the same page about this. So I think that's one, that's just one of several examples through the years when DOLE and DFA have different sets of lenses when it comes to migration governance. Hopefully with this new department, a lot has been put on the plate of this whoever will head this department, because for OFWs it will really be just this department that to be relied on.
So citing that very concrete example that you mentioned, with establishment of this new department, does it make it very clear now that the Department of Foreign Affairs will have nothing to do with that issue, with such a decision?
Policy-wise, they cannot say we have nothing to do because assistance to nationals remains the third pillar of our foreign policy.
Yeah, you precisely.
Cannot do away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but structurally, you know, there's no more overseas, there's no more office of the Undersecretary for Migrant Workers Affairs, or UMWA, that has been taken away. You know, the functions of that in relation to OFWs have been transferred. But for overseas Filipinos, their plight and welfare remain with the Department of Foreign Affairs. So that would still have to be the subject of better coordination between the two departments.
Okay. So this new department, does this take the place of the POEA? And what happens to the other agencies, such as OWA, for instance?
The POEA is now the backbone of this department. So you can see, if you look at the undersecretaries, basically these are the deputy administrators of the POEA. OWA is still an attached agency of this department. yun lang, Christian, it's very interesting. I'd like to see the composition of the migrant workers office in our embassies abroad. Liliit ba yung staff complement o lalaki ba siya? Because you added the functions of the UMWA, of the DFA, assistance to nationals functions for OFWs. So dati kasi sa DOLE, they only look at labor contractual, contract-based violations. Ngayon, contract-based violations plus assistance to nationals, meaning mga criminal cases involving our OFWs. For example, blood money cases.
Yeah.
Yung mga na-involve sa drugs na kailangan ng legal assistance or yung human trafficking cases, yan, mapupunta na yan sa bagong department. I want to see, I want to know if whether there will be additional staff for that, especially overseas.
Isn't that the expectation since the new department is going to absorb all those responsibilities? So it should go without saying that they should be given additional funds and additional manpower.
Remember, Christian, that when you are in a different country, the host government will tell our country how many are we allowed to bring in as part of the embassy. So there are some limitations there. So whoever is the secretary would have to be very creative in making sure that the staff complement would fit or meet the level of expectations of our OFWs, because the expectations are sky high. They are so excited. They know that they now have a home to call their own in the bureaucracy. So, it's very important in the crafting of the IRR to make sure that these expectations are met, if not exceeded.
Were there discussions during the when this law was being crafted as to how NGOs like yours, other stakeholders, would be more involved in the crafting of policy or assessment or reassessment of policy pertaining to our overseas Filipino workers?
Well, you can see provisions here and there mentioning NGOs as part of the consultative process. We do want to see more capacity building and more dialogues, especially during the transition period. Because, alam mo, Christian, one fear that I have is that yung mga magagaling sa DOLE who have been handling labor migration functions and services for the longest time, some even during the time of my dad, baka yun ang unang mag-retire eh. And then, alam mo, yung ano tawag doon? Yung memory bank of 40 years of overseas.
Yung ano, institutional memory.
Yeah, the institutional memory or the memory bank talaga will wither, no? And then, it's important that we also look back, because there are so many lessons learned along the way that can help this new department. No? We don't need to start from zero. We just need to build upon the legacies that are already there.
Okay, let's talk about the most pressing issues that this new department will have to address very, very soon.
How to treat our employers, how to maintain our competitive edge. We have lost a lot of ground because of the pandemic. Yung paiba-ibang IATF regulations, yung cost ng quarantine. It's really how do you operate a department that deals with foreign employers and overseas workers at the time of a pandemic and you are transitioning. And while also looking after, and this is very important, ito yung napapabayaan, while also looking after the families left behind. Wala tayong developmental programs for the children, for example, who have dropped out of school, were caught in between a migrant parent and, you know, another parent who has a new family of his or her own, no? Yung mga social costs of migration issues, that this new department can do a lot on that front. Another thing is on fair and ethical recruitment. Ang daming recruitment agencies that are really foreign owned. Alam yan ng mga nasa industriya, but no one wants to speak up. Ang problema dyan is hawak mo yung pipeline sa Saudi, for example, pero foreign owned ka, dami lang yung Pilipino na may-ari dito ng agency, hawak mo rin yung pipeline dito. So, ibig sabihin, wala ng check and balance. No?
So, anong pwedeng ano ron, solution? Kasi that's a blatant violation, di ba? Pero
yes.
Lumulusot eh.
Higpitan yung licensing and accreditation. It should be considered as a privilege that you are in the industry of recruitment of overseas workers. Tawag na natin modern day heroes eh. Oh. But at the same time, you also have to look at how do you help naman yung mahuhusay and matitino na recruitment agencies to flourish, ano, and to be more connected to the best employers in the world. So parang may tatayo ka ngayon ng parang mga role models for other agencies to follow. Kasi the industry has, you know, fairly or unfairly, has a negative image. Pero actually maraming matitinong recruitment agencies that deal only with the best employers.
Pero yung batas, as crafted, does it provide more power, better regulatory powers to the new department to, let's say, deal with the abusive recruitment agencies?
It has a provision on the blacklisting of abusive employers, recruitment agencies that push our workers to the brink of personal risk, no, to their lives, no, yung mga ganun provisions. But you know, it really depends on the people who will sit in the department. If their hearts are in the right place, then you know, the beauty of the language will find its way in the concretization of deeds, no, and measurable accomplishments. But you know, whatever department you have, if you appoint people that both the employers and the recruiters, and especially our OFWs, cannot even trust, and would have to be educated from day one, medyo mahirap yun kasi now is the race really to hold on to traditional labor markets.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Toots, how is the government faring when it comes to the area of reintegration of OFWs, which is related to the social costs that you mentioned earlier?
Yes. Yun ang ano, it has always been that way na alam natin ilan ang papaalis every day. Hindi natin alam ilan yung bumabalik and anong fields sila galing, anong pwede nilang i-contribute sa nation building. Basically, Christian, what I want sana for this new department to be able to accomplish is, you know, let's not look at an OFW as a kawawa person, always in need of and you know, sobrang achievers, and kaya nga that our nurses, our doctors, our medical workers, they're really the creme de la creme, no? But yung image kasi is laging yung because of the domestic workers yung nabubugbog, nagagaasta. And it's true, that's happening. And, you know, that's why the OPLE Center is there. No, it's our mission to help them. But on the other side of the coin, we also have a lot of success stories that we also need to acknowledge and celebrate.
Okay. Ms. Susan OPLE, thank you very much for joining us tonight in the program. Again, our deepest condolences and happy new year to you.
Thank you, Christian. Always a pleasure, basta ikaw. God bless you.
God bless you. Maraming salamat. We're going to take a quick break. After the fact, we'll be right back.